Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you are worthy of all honor and all praise. And we are here to worship you. And we thank you for what you did on the cross just a few days ago on Good Friday. And we thank you for that resurrection. Without Jesus' resurrection, we would have no hope. But Jesus is our living hope. So thank you, thank you. Thank you for your work on the cross. It is in Jesus' name we all pray, and all God's people said, amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Didn't the worship team do fine this morning? Amen. We started off the day over in Greenwood Cemetery. And I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost anointed that cemetery. It was some kind of service. I just sensed the power of and the presence of the Lord there this morning. And I sense, and by the way, He's here this morning as well. Amen. Tell somebody He is here. That's the guest that we most need on Easter, is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it's Resurrection Sunday. And we've got a full house, praise the Lord. And I'm glad to see all of you here. I want to meet all of you today. I'll be back at the back door here a little bit later after the service. But we didn't do name tags, but please give me your name when you leave the door today. I tell everybody that I don't know, hi, I'm Pastor Cal Hampton, and people just look at me. All right. So it's great. I'm so grateful to have all of you here this morning. We're going to be in the great resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. But I'm going to start off over here in Acts chapter 1. Now, we're coming back to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to start right here in verse 3 of Acts chapter 1. Well, let me start there at verse 2. If you're at Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's Word? Until the day in which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Father, would you bless and honor your holy, authoritative word this morning? God, we need to hear from heaven. I pray, God, for a tremendous outflow and outpouring of your Spirit amongst us. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And give us the courage to say yes to Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, obviously. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died. He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again. Tell somebody He's alive. He's alive. Now the rest of you tell somebody He's alive.
He's alive.
All right. I'm just so thankful to be a part of this Resurrection Sunday, aren't you?
Yes.
And so Dr. Luke talks about these infallible proofs that Jesus, for 40 days after He was raised from the grave, did you all know He appeared to hundreds of people? Hundreds of people. And there's more evidence that Jesus rose never to die again, and is alive forevermore than all the Roman Caesars who ever lived. There's more evidence that Jesus is alive probably than any other person. You say, well, I just, you know, we can't get her here this morning. But if we could get Mary Magdalene here this morning, you know what she'd say? I saw him at the tomb. If we could get those two disciples on the way to Emmaus, if we could get them here this morning, you know what they'd say? We saw him on the road to Emmaus. If we could get old Doubting Thomas here, you know what he'd say? I saw him in the upper room and I placed my fingers in his wounds. He's alive. He's my Lord. And then the Bible tells us that he appeared to over 500 people in one setting. So over and over and over again, over this 40-day period after he was raised from the grave until he went back to heaven, till his ascension, Jesus appeared to people. He disappeared, and then he would reappear. Primarily for three reasons. Number one, Jesus appeared to people post-resurrection to validate the apostles' ministry. In order to be a first century apostle, one of the requirements was that you needed to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. Secondly, Jesus appeared to people in order to show them how he would return. And then number three, he appeared to many people over that 40-day period so that he could indicate and prove the reality of the resurrection. Jesus is alive forevermore. And I want to tell you, I told the folks out at the graveyard this morning, if the Lord's bones, if Jesus' bones are in some grave somewhere, man, nothing else matters. You just live any way you wanted to live. Do what you want to do. But if he's alive, and he is, it's the game changer. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Everything. Everything hinges and hangs on the resurrection of Jesus. And so we're going to look at some of these infallible proofs that Jesus rose from the dead this morning. And it is my prayer that if you haven't seen him, that you will see him today. Now he could come visibly. Over here in 1 Corinthians 15... When Paul says over and over again he was seen, that speaks of literal vision. Now, we can't see him visibly today, can we? But he's still being seen by the eyes of faith. Let me tell y'all over here, maybe y'all will get it. He's still being seen by the eyes of faith. Through the eyes of faith. And so let's talk about how he was seen. Now, there's several things I want to get through this morning, and I'll be as brief as the long-winded Baptist preacher can be. But Jesus, first of all, was seen publicly. He was seen publicly. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time." So first off, I want to just say that Jesus was seen publicly. I've already mentioned Mary Magdalene at the grave, at the tomb. She saw him publicly. The two Emmaus disciples on the road saw him publicly. But here, he mentions the disciples and the apostles. You have these upper room appearances. Now, when did Jesus rise from the grave? Early Sunday morning. And Sunday evening, do you know where the disciples were? In the upper room. Do you know why the Christian church worships on Sunday? Because Jesus got up from the grave on Sunday. That's why we worship on Sunday. And so later that Sunday evening, ten of the disciples, Judas had already hung himself. My buddy, Doubting Thomas, wasn't there. He missed Sunday night church. Let me just give a plug for worship and church. If the doors are open here, you ought to take every opportunity to come and worship Jesus. That's what we're going to be doing for all of eternity. And if you're not liking that now, hello? So take that opportunity. But Thomas somehow missed Sunday night church. And the disciples saw him later. Jesus had appeared to them and they were scared to death. They thought they were looking at a ghost. You remember what Jesus said to them? Peace. Be not afraid. And then he began to speak words of assurance and serenity to them. And then a little bit later, they saw Judas and they said, oh, you missed him. We saw him. And do you remember what he said? Do you remember what Thomas said? I'm not going to believe until I see him for myself and I can put my fingers in his wounds. Well, guess what? The next Sunday night, they were having church again. And Thomas showed up. You see, if you don't show up for church, you're going to miss what God's doing. There's something there. Well, I've had people tell, oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, you don't have to be a car to park in the garage either. Y'all with me? Okay. So, he shows up that Sunday night. And Jesus appears to him. He just boom, there he is. And Thomas sees him. And he said, Thomas, now I'm reading between the lines now, okay? Thomas, come over here, big boy. I told you all many times I had to be crucified, I was buried, and I'd be raised again. And I'm alive again. Now come here. Put your fingerprints on the wounds in my wrist and my hands and in my feet. And Thomas did so. And he said, my Lord and my God. And then you know what Jesus said? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about us. Glory to his name. And so you've got these upper room appearances of the resurrected Christ. He was seen publicly. And then Paul tells us that he was seen by over 500 at one time. There's probably close to 275 people in here today. So if you were to add another couple of 150 or so, Jesus appeared to that many people at once. Now, Jesus was raised from the dead sometime around 33 AD, we think. And Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church in 64 AD, 30 years later. And he said, if you don't believe me that Jesus rose from the dead, go see the 500 who saw him all at once and ask them. He said, some of them are still alive 30 years later. And you know, some of the critics down through the years said, well, those 500 folks just had some hallucinations. My brother, my sister, 500 folks don't have the same hallucination. Jesus is alive. And those 500 brethren and sistren, if that's a word, I don't know, Ms. Wood, is that an English word? Who knows? But Jesus appeared to the 500 publicly. They knew that he was alive because they saw him. And then the ascension. Now, I talked about this at the black church Friday night, and I thought the roof was going to come off the place. Have mercy. I don't know what group you're going to worship with in heaven. We're all going to be there. But I'm going to jump up in the black choir. Okay. Woo! glory to God. So I was talking about the ascension of our Lord that evening over there. And you know, Jesus ascended back to heaven on a cloud. On a cloud. The Shekinah cloud of glory. I believe it's the same cloud that guided and guarded the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings. And so put yourself publicly. His disciples are all there on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus had just given them the great commission. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them. And by the way, that's our marching orders. And so he all of a sudden, this law of gravitation was broken, suspended, relaxed. I don't know what happened, but I want to tell you, he began to rise. You know, that law of gravitation is the same law that keeps the stars in their places. Did you know that? But it could not hold the bright in the morning star. That law of gravitation that keeps the sun in its place, but could not keep the Son of Righteousness from arising with healing in his wings. Y'all, that's good preaching. Come on now. Hallelujah. And so Jesus began to rise before their very eyes. Can you imagine old Simon Peter and the rest of them? Oh, they're so despondent. Our Lord's gone. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I can hear Simon Peter saying, oh, he's the only one that can do anything with me, and now he's gone. And then that announcement from the two angels came. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was so taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Glory to God. And that announcement set the disciples on fire, and they lived looking for the blessed hope and the appearance of the glory, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, you do know he's coming back just the way that he left. When you leave here today, start looking for that big cloud, because he's coming on one. Hallelujah. So those were some of the public appearances of the post-resurrection of our Lord. And then he was seen privately. Now jump down to verse 5 again. And that he was seen by Cephas. Who is that? That's Simon Peter. Now you remember Simon Peter. He had hoof and mouth disease. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. And he looked at himself and kind of coined this phrase. He thought he was Mr. Disciple. And just the night before Jesus was betrayed, Simon Peter said, if everybody runs off and leaves you, you can count on me. And Jesus said, big boy, before the rooster crows twice tomorrow morning, you will have denied that you even knew me. Three times. And that is exactly what happened. And after the third denial, Simon Peter heard that rooster crowing. And the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. The Jewish historian Josephus, Billy, tells us that every time Simon Peter walked by some of his enemies, they began to crow like a rooster. Did you know that Mark 16:7 tells us that the angel at the tomb told the women, go tell the disciples and Peter. There was some kind of private meeting between Jesus and Simon Peter. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall for that meeting? Hallelujah. And whatever happens, well, we do see this wasn't a private meeting, but Jesus, the disciples had been out fishing all night and hadn't caught a thing. And they they see this fellow up on the beach and he's cooking fish and bread for breakfast. How many of y'all would like to have fish and bread for breakfast? Well, that's what they would eat back in the day. And so all of a sudden, Simon Peter's in the boat and that's the Lord. And he jumps out of the boat and swims to the beach. And he sits down with Jesus. And you remember the conversation? Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And each time, Simon Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And then Jesus told him, he said, we've got ministry to do. My sheep need to be fed. My little lambs need to be taken care of. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter where you've been. I don't care what you've done. If you belong to Jesus and you'll get right with Him in here this morning, He will dust you off, clean you up, and use you for His glory. I'm living proof that God gives second chances. Hallelujah. And so He was seen privately by Simon Peter, but He's also seen by His half-brother James. Look at verse 7. After that, He was seen by James. Now, James was the Lord's half-brother. Why do I say that? They had the same mama, but different daddies. You know who Jesus' father was? Yeah, the Heavenly Father. But until the resurrection, the Lord's half-brothers and sisters didn't believe in Him. John 7 and verse 5 tells us that. They didn't believe in Him. But after the resurrection, Jesus appeared privately, evidently, to His half-brother James. And James got a good dose of salvation. And bless God, the half-brother of Jesus was a prayer warrior. And he became the leader of the church there in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And again, Josephus tells us that his nickname was Old Camel Knees because he spent so much time in prayer talking to his half-brother, the Lord Jesus. And the very first verse of his epistle, of James's epistle, he calls himself a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What changed him? What changed Simon Peter? The fact that they knew Jesus was alive. They had seen Him. That'll preach right there. So he was seen publicly, he was seen privately, and finally, I'm running out of time, he was seen personally. By the way, y'all, I was at the Christ the Healer Church Friday night, and the Baptist Church isn't the only church in town that has a clock on the back wall. And I fussed at the pastor. I said, I guess the Holy Spirit's done here at high noon as well. Anyways, and so he was seen personally. This is what Paul says. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Who would say amen to that? And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Before, his name was Saul before he became the Apostle Paul. He was a Jewish terrorist. He was trying his dead level best to stamp out Christianity. And what he would do is he would go to the high priest, and the high priest would give him some letters, and he would go to these synagogues and little towns and villages around Jerusalem and in Jerusalem as well, and have Christians arrested. And they would take them to jail, and then they would be sentenced. Some of them got a beating. Some of them lost their job. Some of them were stoned. Some of them were even killed. And so whenever Saul came to town, the people of the way knew who he was. But did you know that Paul saw the resurrected Christ? He was on the way to Damascus, which isn't far from Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, this huge, bright light hit him and knocked him off his horse, down in the dirt, the Damascus dirt. And then he heard a voice. Saul. Saul! Why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. By the way, anybody who's working against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone who's doing damage to the church today is persecuting Jesus. And if you're going to persecute and fuss and fight with him, you ain't going to win. And so Paul is blind for 3 days, and then he goes to the house And this character named Ananias, in a dream, he comes to see Paul. And then Paul is wonderfully and gloriously changed and saved because he had seen the resurrected Christ. He saw him. And I love the way this reads. He says, last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. That phrase is our word for abortion. You understand what Paul's saying here? He said, man, my religion had left me nothing more than a dead fetus on the side of the Damascus Road. But I found Jesus, and I've seen him, and I have a relationship with him. Can I just share with you? Religion will leave you graveyard dead. Religion is not what we need. A relationship with Jesus Christ is what we need. It's what we've got to have. I want to ask you today, are you walking with him? Are you talking with him? Are you going along each and every path every day with him? Is he speaking to you? Is he leading you? Do you see him with those spiritual eyes? Do you? What some of our folks on Sunday mornings have is religion. You come in here and then you leave the same way. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You come in here and you leave the same way you came in, and then you live your life any old way, Monday through Saturday, and you claim to have met him and there's been no change in your life. What you need to do today, my friend, is see him. You need to meet him, because all of these post-resurrection appearances, everyone that saw him, their life was changed forever. Forever. They didn't remain the same. They were different than when they first saw him. Because God's still working on me. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And if you've got a relationship with him, he's going to change you. He's going to make you more like him. Can I get a witness? And so, Paul saw him. And it is my prayer. Let me read one little verse of scripture to you, and we'll be about done. I know, a little 30-minute sermon about wears us out. Let's see here. Jesus said to him, Thomas, you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And so my question to you today is, have you seen him? I mean, have you really seen him? Because if you have, and you've experienced him, people shouldn't have to wonder. I wonder if they're a believer. Oh, I don't know if they're a follower of Jesus Christ or not. I don't know if they're saved. I'm not being judgmental, y'all. I'm just being scriptural. This mess today about, it doesn't line up with the Bible. And so I would encourage you today. You know what? If you ask to see him, if you'll look to him with spiritual eyes, he will save you in this place today. He will. Pastor was ministering to a young lady in his congregation. She was a young lady, but she had a terminal illness. She was dying. So the pastor was talking with her and asking about how she wanted things done at her funeral and that kind of thing. And she said, well, Pastor, there is one thing. I want, when they put me in that casket, I want to make sure that they put a fork in my hand. He said, a fork? She said, yeah. I want a fork in my hand. She said, when my grandmama used to cook for us, we'd all go to that meal together. And then after we'd eaten, she'd take up all the dessert, she'd take up all the plates, and then she would tell us, keep your fork. Because the best is yet to come. And she looked at her pastor with these faraway eyes and said, the best is yet to come. And at her funeral, over and over and over again, that pastor got to tell this story. The best is yet to come if you belong to Jesus. But if you don't belong to him, there's a nightmare ahead for you. You're going to have to spend an eternity separated from God. paying the price for all your sin. Why would you want to do that when Jesus paid the price for you? If you'd surrender to Him today, He will come. I'm living proof. I'm the poster child for this. If God will receive someone like me, He'll receive anyone. He will. He said He would. But you've got to come to Him His way. And here's the way you have to come. You have to be broken. And understand that your sins have separated you from a holy God. God has to judge sin. But do you know where He judged our sin? At the cross. And my Bible tells me if I'd be willing to turn from my sin and turn to Jesus with our spiritual eyes and our hearts and ask Him to forgive us and change us and save us, He will do all of those things and more. And He will send His Spirit into your spirit to live. And if you'll turn to Jesus and give Him everything that you are to everything that He is by calling on His name, He will save you right here. And you can get rid of this old dead religion and have a living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now is the time to say yes to Jesus. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you're here this morning and you know you're a sinner and that you haven't, you're wondering, isn't there more to this thing than I've experienced? And if you would just come to Him with a broken heart today and ask Him to forgive you and surrender to the Son of God today by giving Him your life, He will save you right here today. He knows your heart. And He'll listen to a prayer of a lost sinner that needs a Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to just lead all of us in a prayer. And if you're not sure about your salvation, God brought you here this Easter to get saved. He brought you here this morning so that you could hear the gospel. And I don't care whether you're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old or if you're 90 years old, God is still saving people. And you just pray a prayer like this. Father, forgive me of all my sin. I believe that You sent Your Son so I could be forgiven. I believe Jesus paid the price, took the punishment for my sin, that He took my place. And right now, by faith, I look to Jesus as my only means of salvation. Save me. Forgive me. I'll follow You all the rest of my days. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now, nobody's looking around. And I want to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to look up right here at me. Just look up from wherever you're sitting right here at me. This is the first and only time you need to ever do this. You can't get born again over and over and over again. You just get saved once. Gotcha. Gotcha. Others. Gotcha. I see you. Now I'm going to ask you, those of you that are looking at me, everybody else has their head bowed. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? He loves you with an everlasting love. Now, do you love Jesus? Do you love Him? Well, God calls all of us to step out and make that decision to follow Jesus public. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you don't, and you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And so in just a minute, All of you that have prayed to receive Christ today, I want to just ask you to quietly slip out and come to the front. We'll have some counselors here. We'll have some things to give you and get in your hands to share with you how you can get started right in your new life with Christ. And we'll pray for you. We'll rejoice with you. But you've got to come. This is your decision. And I want to tell you, if Jesus could die like that for me, surely we can do whatever He asks us to do. I want to pray for you now. Father, we know the evil one does not want people to go public with their salvation today. We know that he'll do anything to keep us from Jesus. Lord, I pray that that wouldn't happen here today. And ask God, if there are Christians that are here, and they're not living for your honor, God, that you would do a work in their heart and their life. And restore them unto Lordship salvation. Whatever you need to do during this time, in Jesus' name we pray. And we're going to sing an invitational hymn, a hymn of response.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.